I want to tell you to call on Jesus. I'm telling you to call on that man, praise God, who came to this earth over 2,000 years ago. Praise God, not only that he came to this earth, praise God, he went to a cross and he died for you. Praise God, they pierced him in the side, drove nails through his hand and his feet, and praise God, they stretched him out wide, and praise God, and he stayed there on that cross, and then they took him down off of that cross, put him in a borrowed grave. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is something about putting my God in a borrowed grave. Don't you know what no grave gonna hold him? There is something about that. You see, the body that he had, it didn't come from no dirt, and he wasn't going back to no dirt, so they couldn't hold him down. They put that body in that grave, and after 3 days and 3 nights, he got up with all power in his hand. I'm talking about power to heal the sick. I'm talking about power to raise the dead. Somebody said, I've only read what 3 people been raised. Praise God, I'm not to tell you, it was more than that. I asked them, I said, who was raised? They said, Jairus' daughter was raised. The widow of Nain's son was raised. And Lazarus was raised. I said, you don't have it right, because you're looking at a guy who was once a dead fella. I don't know about you, but we all were some dead folks at one time. But see, when you were caught up and when you were still in your sin, you were just like a dead person. But I'm here to tell you that the God that we serve, when you give your life to him, you are no longer dead. You rise up and you're alive forevermore. That's the God that I'm talking about. So when you get to the point in your life and you ask yourself the question, what am I going to do when you don't know what to do? Turn it over to Jesus. Turn it over to Jesus. And I'm here to tell you, if you turn it over to Jesus, he'll show enough. 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 Make everything all right. That's what I like about him. That's what I like about him. Praise God. You can't turn it over to your friends. I know y'all have had those instances when you have turned things over to your friend. You've gone to your friends too many times. And your friends look at you and say, Daryl Robinson coming again. Don't he know that I can't do nothing for him? Hallelujah. And when you call the house, they'll look at the caller ID and say, there's nothing but old Robinson buzzing me again. And they won't even pick up the phone. But I'm telling you, if you do like Jeremiah 3:33, call on him, he'll answer.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
Greetings, brothers and sisters in Christ. Welcome to the media ministry of the Mount Olive Baptist Church of Leesville. Dr. Carl Armstead, Sr., pastor. Join our pastor as he preaches and teaches the Word of God.
Amen, 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 amen. To our associates and the persons of Reverend Smith and Head, our deacons, and to all of the officers and members of the Mount Olive Church visitors, let me just say God is good. and his mercy endures forever. We would like to call our attention to the second chapter of the book of Ephesians. Be somewhat familiar to some of you, but you know, last Thanksgiving I had turkey. This Thanksgiving I had turkey. About five or six Thanksgiving ago I had turkey. And guess what? Every time I eat it, it tastes better and better. Amen. And so it's the same way with the word, nothing new. Sometimes we got to go back and rehearse it again. In the second chapter of Paul's letter to the Ephesians, verses 11 through 15, you will find these words. Therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcised by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hand, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Amen. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his own flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle walls of separation. And for a little while, we won't just talk about again tearing down those middle walls. God our Father, in the name of Jesus, we come now. We thank you now for this privilege and for this opportunity. We pray that you allow your Holy Spirit to continue to move freely in our midst. And then we ask that you grant us a fresh anointing of your Spirit. And in that anointing, grant us preaching power. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the praise. It is in the strong and mighty name of Jesus the Christ. Our Lord, we pray and thank you. Amen. Amen. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. Thank you, Ushers. The grass withers and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Let me begin by saying that one of the main tactics of our enemy, the devil, one of the main tactics that he uses to weaken the church is to divide and conquer. And that's why Jesus says in his word in Matthew 12:25, he says, every house divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every house, that means your house, my house, the White House, and the church house, any other house will not stand. But even more, I've discovered that one of the greatest challenges of the Church of God today is the many little invisible barriers that we create in our own lives that keep us separated in the body of Christ. And so in the text, Paul reveals to us that those physical and spiritual barriers in the temple is what brought about division that divided Jews from Gentiles and men from women. And so with your prayer, I just want to talk for a few minutes from that subject, tearing down those middle walls. But now in the first half of this second chapter of Ephesians, our author, Apostle Paul, he deals with what Jesus has done for the sinner in general. But it is in the second half where we draw our text and subject, where he deals with the Jew and Gentile in particular. Because in the church at Ephesus, there was a rift between the Jew and the Gentile concerning circumcision and the law. And so in the text, Apostle Paul addresses this division, namely the law and its regulation, by showing that by Christ's sacrificial death on the cross, he became our peace by tearing down the middle walls of separation that divided Jew from Gentile. But now, having said that, we must remember that the Jews were the covenant people, because God had made a messianic covenant with the Gentiles, but he made it with the Jews. And so the Jews had the law of Moses, which was really to protect them from pagan corruption. But Brother Jones, the Jews misunderstood the purpose of the law. And so they felt superior and looked down on the Gentiles as being inferior. And not only that, the Jews had been there for a long time, and the Gentiles had just gained entrance. And I believe you can understand that, because it's like in the church today. When a new member joins, many times, no matter what their talent, gifts, or abilities are, if they're given a chance to use them, there will always be somebody talking about they just got here. And they got to wait their turn to move in this position or that position. Even though the one complaining can't even do what they're trying to block the other one from doing themselves. But in the text, before Christ came, the temple at Jerusalem was divided both physically and spiritually. Because everyone was behind a wall. But now the wall created division, because it caused husbands to be separated from wives, men from women, and Jews from Gentiles, which only brought about division and strife. But the text says that Jesus brought these two antagonistic groups together and has now formed one new man, namely the Christian church, the body of Christ. But having said all that, I need to tell us that walls are important, because they are a part of the biblical legacy. Because the Bible says it was the prophet Isaiah who said that a watchman ought to set on the city wall, and his job was to warn the folk on the inside of the approaching danger on the outside, as well as the danger that lurked within. And then, there was Nehemiah, who while in exile got the news that somehow the walls around the city and the old temple had fallen down and the gates had been destroyed by fire. And so he got permission from the king to go back home in order to repair the walls and restore the gates to their former positions. But my brothers and sisters, I need to say to us that walls can be some funny things, because not only do they affect our lives emotionally and mentally, but they also affect our lives psychologically. Because as humans, we are guilty of creating these little walls, these little invisible barriers in our own lives. But now we do this in order to shut folk out. In other words, these little invisible barriers we create in our lives, they are there to protect you from me and me from you. And therefore, I can't see your weakness, and you can't see mine. And so to shield, protect, and defend ourselves, we build up these little invisible barriers, these little, middle walls in our lives. But now walls also prevent communication, meaning I can possibly hear you talking, but because the wall is there, I can't understand what you're saying. But if I can't understand what you're saying, then there is no communication. And where there is no communication, there can only be division and strife. Moreover, the wall also prevents sight. Meaning they act as a barrier to keep me from seeing you and you from seeing me. But I need to tell you, if I can't see you, then I can't sense you. Nor can I appreciate or understand you. Because as long as that wall is there, I'm unable to see the smile on your face. So I can't participate in your joy. As long as that wall is there, I can't even see the tears.